Inter Germany. Invest in your Wirtschaftswunder. Hello and a very warm welcome to a new episode of our German business podcast, Inter Germany. It's brought to you by Germany Trade and Invest, GTAI, the German government's international business promotion agency. I'm Kelly O'Brien.
So we think it requires rebalancing in order to make the supply chains more sustainable and more resilient going forward.
But even globally, you hardly find such a concentration of different players that manufacture semiconductors in one single spot.
No mobile phones, no laptops, no video games, no electronic devices. Sounds pretty horrific, doesn't it? That's the nightmare scenario raised by possible bottlenecks in the supplies of microchips. After all, no chips, none of the groovy gadgets to which we're all so hopelessly addicted. One way to secure a regular supply of semiconductors is to make them at home. But starting in the 1990s, chip production migrated to low-wage countries in Asia. Does Europe have any chance of enticing it back? To answer that, we'll talk to the woman leading Intel's big expansion in Germany and get insights from the managing director of something called Silicon Saxony. But first, let's play around a little with some very big numbers. With over 50% of Europe's microelectronics production, Germany is the heart of the sector on the continent. It's also home to thousands of chip-related companies, including major players like Infineon Technologies or Carl Zeiss SMT, and now Intel. The planned 17 billion euro Intel megafab in the eastern German city of Magdeburg will permanently redraw the microchip map. Magdeburg is the capital of the regional state of Saxony-Anhalt and has a population of around 230,000. But it hasn't always been at the center of the business radar. Nonetheless, with a little help from the business investment promotion agency Germany Trade and Invest, Intel picked Magdeburg to be the center of its ambitious European plans. But why Magdeburg? And why Germany? To find out, let's meet Christine Eisenschmidt, Managing Director, Vice President and General Manager of Intel Germany. She is responsible for leading Intel's operations in Germany. Christine has spent 30 years of her career in the semiconductor industry, holding management positions at Siemens Semiconductors and Infineon before joining Intel more than a decade ago. So, Christine, tell us about Intel's plans in Magdeburg.
We are planning to build a state-of-the-art chip factory that will ultimately consist of two fab modules. And we are planning to have 3,000 employees in the final stage when the project is completed, working in these two fab modules. During the time of construction, we will use up to 7,000 construction workers and workers that are building the factory and that are engaged in the building process. So it's really a big, big project that will stretch over 3-4 years because it's really such a big endeavor and a big project. Yeah, these are the key data. And yeah, why Magdeburg? Because Magdeburg has very good infrastructure conditions. There is a lot of space available. And what was very important for us, that there is a very, very strong political will and political commitment to attract the investment and to have the fab in Magdeburg and in Saxony-Anhalt. So these were all factors that ultimately led to the decision to build the fab in Magdeburg.
Intel plans to invest at least 17 billion euros in Germany. That's half of what it will spend in total to build a next-generation European chip ecosystem. Christine, a factory in Asia would be 30 to 40% cheaper to build and operate than in Europe. So why construct production facilities in Europe?
Right now, more than 80% of the manufacturing is happening in Asia. It has not always been like that. So 20 years ago, 30 years ago, Europe accounted for a much, much higher share of the semiconductor manufacturing. So we are very clear if we don't invest in Europe and in the US, the imbalance will even increase. And probably in the long run, everything will shift to Asia. This is not a healthy situation. So we think it requires rebalancing in order to make the supply chains more sustainable and more resilient going forward. So our goal is to bring back manufacturing to Europe and increase it in the US, that ultimately we have an equal or more balanced share. So 50% share in the US and Europe combined would be an aspirational goal.
What kind of state subsidies does Intel receive?
Well, this is still to be determined. What is a fact is that we have a cost gap of 30 to 40%. Due to the current macroeconomic environment and conditions, the cost gap has even increased. So we are working with the federal government, the state governments now to see how we can address the cost gap and how we can hopefully close the cost gap to make sure we are competitive with the fab in Europe and that we can argue towards our stakeholders and to our shareholders why we build in Europe versus in Asia or in any other country. So we need to be competitive. This is important.
There have been rumors that Intel might abandon its plans. Any truth to them?
Well, we are aware of the rumors, although we don't fully understand what these rumors are based on. So we are fully committed to make it happen and to find viable solutions together with our government partners. And think we are well underway and on track towards finding solutions. Of course, it's a complex project and the economic environment has changed a lot since our announcement back in March 2022. So we need to address these topics like, for example, energy situation, energy cost, increased construction cost, etc. So these are topics that have changed the business case and that we need to discuss and address in the conversations with our government partners.
And what does Germany and the German government need to do to remain competitive in the chip market?
First of all, be aware of what's going on in other regions and in other countries, specifically tax credits, the tax situation. I think it's important to make sure that even research and development and design remains attractive to do it in Germany or in Europe. So I think we need to find something to counter the tax credit programs and initiatives that we currently see in other regions. So that would be one recommendation. And also find a solution to the energy situation. But that's not new. I think the political stakeholders are addressing it and are on it and discussing solutions to that. So I think we need to be competitive. We need to be aware that other regions subsidize heavily, not only one-time investments to build or construct fabs or to construct new sites, but also to support the ongoing operations. I think that's something that should be considered. How can the ongoing operations be competitive to other regions and to other countries?
We'll delve a bit deeper into the semiconductor sector in a few minutes with Frank Bösenberg from Silicon Saxony. But first, let's look at some of the other top business news from Germany. Sounds like Star Trek. Utilizing ever so valuable space in factories could be getting easier. Researchers from the Fraunhofer Institute for Manufacturing, Engineering and Automation have developed a hologram headset that allows users to try out ideas in mixed reality. The system is called HoloLayouts, like the famous holodeck on the Starship Enterprise. 50% plus. The Fraunhofer Institute for Solar Energy Systems calculates that over half of the electricity used in Germany in 2022 came from non-nuclear renewables. Sustainable energy production was up nearly 7%, but there's more work to be done. Germany is targeting 80% renewables by 2030. Solar power. Online platform The Next Web says that nearly 9/10 of the €488 million in venture capital invested in European solar energy companies in 2022 went to firms in Germany. Hamburg's 1.5 degrees alone took in 200 million. And those sums don't include the nearly 1 billion euros raised by Berlin's solar unicorn Enpal, largely in loans. Organic roadmap. Germany's Ministry of Food and Agriculture has presented an overarching plan to make food healthier and agricultural production more sustainable. The centerpiece is expanding organic farming in Germany from 11% to 30% by 2030. The initiative also aims to cut food waste in half. And finally, Texas on the Mine. American tech giant Texas Instruments is constructing a new production distribution facility in the western German city of Frankfurt am Main, home to Germany's biggest airport. The logistics center will supply the company's European customers with microchips and aims for single-day delivery. The facility will go into operation by the end of 2024. Here we are back at our main topic, Germany's chip industry. As we've heard, Magdeburg is the latest semiconductor hotspot. Frankfurt is an attractive place for companies like Texas Instruments. But arguably, the most important hub is situated in and around Dresden. Frank Bösenberg is the managing director of Silicon Saxony. It's Germany's biggest high-tech network. Together with national and regional investment promotion agencies, Silicon Saxony helps bring international and German companies to Dresden. Hi Frank, tell us what your network does.
Yes, so I'm managing director of Silicon Saxony, which calls itself a cluster organization. Cluster can be considered a network, a regional network, so with a clear focus on a specific region. In our case, it's Saxony, federal state in the eastern part of Germany, with the capital Dresden, 200 kilometers south of Berlin. And we bring together actors in our silicon ecosystem, which means we are talking about players in the microelectronics industry, but also in software and in related topics like automation or robotics. In total, we are talking about more than 400 members. And it's important to understand that these are not only companies, but also research institutions and universities. So the all actors in the so-called value chain, members in our organization.
Dresden is the fifth largest microchip location in the world. What's the secret to this secret?
Yeah, the history of Silicon Saxony traces back 62 years as in the former GDR, socialist state. The leadership decided to set up a research center by that time. So Dresden was the hub for microelectronics in the former GDR and basically in almost the entire Eastern Bloc. Up to the level when the wall fell down in 1989, we had 25,000 employees in the sector already. And then we had a kind of revival in the mid-90s, where we had similar situations like today with respective subsidies. They were not specifically available for microelectronics, but for rebuilding the eastern part of Germany. And they were cleverly used by our regional politicians in attracting Siemens and AMD by that time. And yeah, ever since, we have seen a rise of our ecosystem. And I mentioned 25,000 employees in 1989. Now we have 75,000 in the respective sectors in Saxony. But it's also part of the truth that the share of entire Europe in chip manufacturing has declined for the last, let's say, 30 years.
Describe the role of the recent supply chain crisis in bringing chip production back to Europe. Can the sector really make a major comeback in Europe?
So the relevance, importance of the industry was widely neglected, even by its very clients, in entire Europe. So the relevance of the industry has been recognized in Europe, but of course also in the US and in China. And the growth of the industry will continue. I'm absolutely convinced of that. And politicians have realized that it's relevant to have at least a certain share of the industry in their very own region.
Can you give us some figures about the hub around Dresden?
So we are pretty proud that every third chip that is still being produced in Europe comes from Saxony and even from Dresden. Because in Dresden there are currently five major fabs, or let's say four major and one minor fab. And the names that are partly known and partly not are GlobalFoundries, still the biggest fab. So it's a semiconductor manufacturing site. Then we have an Infineon fab here that is known at least to people that are active on the stock exchange. Bosch opened up a new fab here 2 years ago now, with the single biggest investment in the company's history, so 1 billion euro investment in the respective site. We have X-Fab, and the fifth minor site is SAW Components, a special chip manufacturer, a little bit smaller. But five fabs, and that is pretty unique, not only in Europe, where we are the undisputed number one, but even globally. You hardly find such a concentration of different players that manufacture semiconductors in one single spot.
Talking about war of talents, how many jobs are being created in the region?
We are talking about 75,000 people being employed in the sector, microelectronics and software, and the related supply chain all over Saxony. And we expect to grow this figure by another 25,000 until the end of the decade.
What kind of jobs is the industry offering?
In general, we are talking about people with the so-called STEM profile, so science, technology, engineering, mathematics. In more practical terms, yes, it's electrical engineering. So if you do your degree in electrical engineering, and if you then do a focus in semiconductor, I can promise you a job in Silicon Saxony without any doubt.
Now, Intel decided to build its fabric in Magdeburg, not in Dresden. How does that affect your region?
We are really happy about this decision and having a new cluster in our, yeah, I would call it neighborhood. And we sometimes even talk about the so-called high-tech triangle in the eastern part of Germany, with the cornerstones of Magdeburg, then Dresden, and also in Jena or Erfurt, you have Zeiss, and also X-Fab, so we have also strong industrial players in Thuringia. Yeah, so it's really a new high-tech triangle in the eastern part of Germany, and it shows the relevance and also the potential of the respective regions and Germany as a whole for really high-tech investments.
True, Magdeburg and Dresden are only 2 hours apart by train. How important are subsidies for attracting international businesses to a certain region?
Yeah, for Saxony, yeah, the subsidies are available everywhere in Germany because they mainly come from the national level. So that's not a USP, but what makes Saxony special is the existing landscape, economic landscape, and also the educational landscape. So if you ask Bosch what were the reasons that they decided to invest the 1 billion in Dresden and not in Singapore or in Malta, US, because those were the three final spots where they decided between. What they told us is that they have three or four reasons. Number one was subsidies, yes, but they were equally available in all three regions. So also the other two regions offered respective subsidies. It's not a game changer, but without subsidy, it wouldn't have happened. Huh? It's also part of the truth. Factor two is the existing supplier landscape. Factor three is the great educational landscape, from the level of schools up to the level of university. And the fourth point was really the entire ecosystem, what I call landscape.
Will Germany and Europe make it in the long term as a major player in chip production?
So it's also part of the truth that Europe as a whole is not anymore in a leading position globally. So Europe as a whole has only like 8% global market share. And that is, yeah, we cannot talk about dominating the market. And that's why we as Saxony united with the other relevant European hubs already 10 years ago under the brand of Silicon Europe, because we are strongly convinced that we need this European cooperation to compete globally.
What needs to be done on the political side?
The official figures for Germany, I do not know. If you really search for it in the internet, you will find like 15 billion that Habeck announced some time ago. Otherwise, we are talking about 43 billion that were announced on EU level. But yes, it's true that other regions of the world, US, but also South Korea, Taiwan and China, do invest at least the same, if not more. So the objective of Europe to have a market share of 20% until 2030 is, how to say this politely, is very, very, very ambitious given the respective money that is assigned to this task in relation to the other regions of the world. Because I didn't hear South Korea saying, yes, we invest 430 billion, because that's the figure from there, and we expect our market share to decline. So everybody wants to grow its market share. Everybody invests. So does Europe, which is per se very good news. Will it be sufficient for reaching the 20%? I don't know. Will the industry grow in Europe, in Germany and in Saxony? Yes, it will, definitely. So what is really important? I mean, I've said that the relevance of the industry has been recognized by policymakers and also by clients. What is equally important is the speed of implementing those recognition into precise measures. So we have heard the words from the politicians that they have realized how important everything is, but the EU Chips Act is not yet in place. So what we urge for as Silicon Saxony, and also together with our European colleagues at Silicon Europe, is speed in implementation. But we need tangible results, implemented measures as fast as possible. And the blueprint is the US Chips Act. And we are now like 6 months behind. So that's, if we want to stay in the race, we need a start signal. And then I guess we are able to compete. But it should not be just talk the talk, but also walk the walk.
With this, we're coming to the end of this episode. But before we go, we'd like to tell you a bit about how Germany works. As we heard from Silicon Saxony and in conjunction with Intel, investment promotion agencies, or IPAs, are important for international investors to set up their business in Germany. They played a role in bringing the US semiconductor giant to Magdeburg. Many economically powerful countries have such IPAs to assist international companies expanding and setting up subsidiaries. These government agencies work for free. After all, country X benefits if company Y sets up shop there. In Germany, IPAs operate slightly differently because of the country's structure as a federation of 16 regional states. Firms interested in expanding to Germany often first contact the national IPA, Germany Trade and Invest. There, they get important information on things like tax structures, labor laws, and business incentive programs. They also find out about the various cities and regions in Germany where they could potentially find a home. When the companies select a location, the regional state IPA takes care of the further advisory steps needed to make the expansion a success. This was how Intel ended up in Magdeburg in the regional state of Saxony-Anhalt. And that's how Germany works. Thanks for listening. And remember, Germany Trade and Invest can help you bring your business to Germany. Get in touch at gtai.com. We're also keen on your opinions, suggestions, and questions. Please leave a comment in your favorite podcast app or drop us a line. You'll find all the details in our show notes. Till next month, auf Wiederhören, and remember, Germany means business.